You're welcome. I'm accepting your praise in advance. This is Medium Clever. I'm your host, Brett Medill. With me, as always, co-host Sean Stewart. Say cheerio to the audience, Sean.
Cheerios.
Just minding the switches and knobs, it's the people's champ, Brant Bobby. And our guest, you've seen him on Conan, The Late Show, The Late Late Show, The Tonight Show, Last Comic Standing, Comedy Central, and stages nationwide, Canada and the U.S., stand-up comedian Mike Kaplan.
Thank you, everybody, for you for having me, and everyone who's listening for having seen me in all of those places. I'm glad that you put in the work to do the prerequisites for seeing everything that I've done everywhere I've ever been, and now I don't have to tell you anything about myself because you know it all. Thanks for following me around forever.
There's a huge audience of those people that are all listening. Those might be there's three regular listeners and those people. That's everyone who's listening right now, if they're listening to it when it's hot off the presses. However, in a couple of years from now, people will be listening to this episode, previous episodes, future episodes. They'll be listening to them by the score, because a few years from now, Sean is going to reach his breaking point. He's going to go on a killing spree. Right?
And that
will retroactively drive traffic to these episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
People will try to track the exact moment when he lost it.
That's right. We need the backstory here. This audio will be played on a Rescue 911 type show in the future.
It could be that maybe he has kidnapped somebody and they're like, we need to look for clues throughout the previous life that he led.
Right.
Is like you're like some, you know, evil genius.
So let's listen to all the Medium Clever podcasts.
Yeah, well, people who are writing the book, at least, the several people who will be writing books on the subject,
that's true,
will be going back, definitely, deep into the archives. I could actually maybe make some money selling.
You can sell
that
stories
later, you know. Yeah, sure. I
premium
sell
content.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a two. That's a $1.99 on iTunes.
Yeah,
if you want to solve that murder.
Yeah.
Murders.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really the key. You hold the information. You get the information and you compile it and you store it of what people are going to want, and then you sell it later. You shouldn't be compelled to just give away information about solving a murder.
Not at all.
No.
I mean, what's in it for me?
Yeah, exactly. What's the incentive here?
So,
am I getting money?
Yeah. So, well, Sean, what kind of psychotic break would you see yourself having?
Oh, probably. I don't know. Probably something that involves too many staplers.
Okay.
Because
maybe we should establish like what would drive the most traffic. Like, how could your rampage best promote this? Like you're screaming Medium Clever the whole time, and you're just stabbing.
I don't think it would be a lot of promotion for the podcast per se.
No, I'm requesting that you do it in a
while
way
I
that
murder
would be
people
promotional. Sure.
You know,
that'd
yeah,
be hard to,
you're going
to
go crazy, but before you're crazy,
advertise
please
the podcast.
Plan how you're going to go crazy in a positive, fruitful, lucrative way.
That's right. Impose some predetermined order on madness.
So let's say I'm stabbing someone in the chest, and I'm like, this is very murderous, but unlike the murder that we lay down on Medium Clever every couple months.
Every couple months.
Does that work? I don't know. I'm terrible at advertising.
Oh, no, I think you're a natural. You're born natural.
Both of you guys, you're like, hey, three listeners every couple months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually, I might murder you.
That's right.
Yeah, most likely.
So, I mean, really, you have to listen. If you don't listen, you won't know when the psychotic break is approaching.
And who it's going, and where he could say where he's going
That's
to murder
right.
people,
That's
and
right.
then be like, all right, fans will be able to avoid it.
And it's a mystery. Maybe Sean will have it,
or
but
embrace
it's possible.
It if they're into that.
Yeah, it could be
if
me.
Into dying.
It could be Brant Bobby.
Yeah, it could be like the
any of us could suffer
the first
this.
Scream movie. I don't mean to spoil it, you know, 20 years after the fact, but there could be any. The point is, there could be any number of murderers here.
Was it Skeet Ulrich? Was Skeet Ulrich in Scream?
He was. I don't know.
Was Matthew Lillard in that, or was he in?
He was.
I know what you did last summer.
Nope, those were both in Scream, I'm not gonna reveal the killer.
It's probably a good idea.
Yeah, you're right.
Watch it. It was a decent movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
as was
right.
Scream.
I just saw Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, did
yes.
you?
Yeah.
I want to see that.
Super.
Still.
Super.
Yeah.
Yeah. A similar genre of like, you know, just smart, funny like really cool horror movie. Like you don't have to like horror movie. You just have to be okay with, you know, occasional. The gore isn't really excessive, but okay. It's just like a really fun, smart story.
All right. I've heard some good things about it.
Joss Whedon, one of my favorites.
Exactly, yeah, and did he write it or he just produce it? Or?
He wrote it.
Oh, he did write it.
I believe.
Because one of the problems that I had with that is I haven't seen it yet, but I saw the trailer in the theater. Like where I didn't seek out the trailer, but it was forced upon me before like the Hunger Games.
That's
or
unfortunate.
Something.
Yeah.
And the trailer gave away way more. Like as I was watching the trailer, it was very clear that they were giving away things that it would be better off if I did not.
For
know.
Sure.
You'll still enjoy it, but yeah, I definitely saw a preview start for it when I probably also, I think when I was at 21 Jump Street, and I covered my ears and hummed to myself to avoid the exact thing that you were not as prepared to avoid.
That's right. I was just not ready for it. I didn't go in with a plan.
Nope.
Did not consider.
I came prepared with hands and tongue and vocal cords. I don't know if the tongue's necessary for humming. Probably not.
And the ability to make decisions in increments shorter than 60 seconds.
Mind, hand, vocal cords.
All put it together, total package. Excellent.
That's all I am. It's just a hand strumming vocal cords due to
if you ever get to see
powers.
Him on stage, and you've now got a perfect mental picture.
He's like a human theremin.
That's right. There's like a bodiless, a disembodied voice coming out of the vicinity of a electromagnetic box. Mm-hmm. Mike Kaplan.
I'm a robot.
Do you aspire to be a robot?
You know, I don't aspire to, but I live some robot-like qualities. I have some experiences that are robotic in nature.
But it's not a longevity thing with the robot. Like I'll be old and frail, and then they can put my
brain
in a robot.
That sounds fine. I think I'll be right at home. But in the meantime, yeah, I am doing my best to maximize like the time between now and when I am old and frail. And that's a sort of like, you know, an obsessive compulsive style of like, oh, how best to conduct my position so that I can live a long life as a human.
Peak robot.
Exactly.
That's excellent.
I have a robot tattoo.
Oh, yeah?
It's a robot with a heart.
A love robot.
Yeah, a robot that can love. That's me.
A robot capable. Nice.
It's not just programmed to love.
Right.
It can do other robot things.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Okay.
It can move around.
Did Data on Star Trek The Next Generation ever learn to love?
I believe he did, ultimately.
Yeah?
I think he cried once.
Oh, that's good. It's good. You got to feel warm.
Good for you, Data.
Yeah. Good job, Data.
You did it.
It's always good to know that a fictional thing does a something.
Yep.
I prefer when my fictional things that I have convinced myself to care about show development properties.
You know,
I require an arc.
It's really impressive when fake things make you feel.
Absolutely.
And he's a fake thing that couldn't feel, and it's him feeling that makes real people feel. Oh, it's amazing.
It's a loop right there. Well, no, but you're talking about the caring about a fake thing, and I was talking to you before the podcast about comics a little bit, and that my foray back into comics in the last couple of years was through the runs of Brian Michael Bendis and Ed Brubaker on Daredevil.
And this is comics, comic books, not comics stand-up comics.
Yes, not comics stand-up comics. We're talking about graphic novel comics. We're not talking about blind lawyer Matt Murdock performing stand-up. That is not what we're covering right now. Strictly in readable graphic form.
You're lying. Am I right, ladies? Yes, I can hear your pulse.
I think they're going to reboot Daredevil as a movie, and I want it to be good. I would love Daredevil to be a good movie.
But how can they surpass what they did last time?
Yeah, it's going to be really tough to top.
I actually enjoyed watching that movie, but I guess like maybe I was led to believe that it would be the worst thing in the world, and then I went in and I'm like, hey, this isn't the worst.
It was watchable, at least.
You reduce your expectations to such a low level that you can only be impressed with what you get.
That's what happened to me with Spider-Man 3 also, I believe, that people were like, no! And then I was like, yeah, maybe.
Which is, I couldn't get into Spider-Man 3.
Oh, well, you should have had lower expectations.
Yep. I didn't have any expectations for it. I just...
Right. That's why you had zero. You should have had negative.
Oh, I should have had less than zero. Oh,
this is going to be horrible.
Yeah.
Hey, that was, I don't want to kill myself.
That was, less than terrible. Right.
Expect that it could murder your family. Like, oh, maybe I shouldn't go to this movie. It could
murder
my family.
Yeah, that's kind of a scary movie to go to.
And then you go see it and you're like, hey, my family's still alive. Things are great.
I'm going to create the torture inside of my head. And then, yeah, it'll just be alleviated later. That's great.
Yeah. This isn't waterboarding.
This isn't waterboarding. It's just 21 Jump Street.
You didn't like it? I legitimately enjoyed 21 Jump Street.
I've heard good things. No, I still haven't seen it yet.
I saw it. I thought it was funny. It was definitely funny. Rob Riggle's hilarious in pretty much anything I've ever seen him in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Channing Tatum was not as detestable as I expected him to be.
Sure.
No, it was funny. It just didn't seem like a, you know, it wasn't a film, you know. It wasn't like a good movie with a story that made sense or anything like that.
Oh, no.
But it's funny.
Was that really what you're expecting from 21 Jump Street, though?
Yes.
He was expecting Schindler's List.
Yeah, exactly.
Schindler's Jump Street.
Johnny Depp shows up at the beginning.
Old-looking Jews.
He's got a list. Mm-hmm. It's all black and white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's some red, I think.
No
I haven't
sound.
Seen Schindler's List. Mm-hmm. Haven't seen Liam Neeson, right?
Well, you're supposed to see it.
I know I'm supposed to. I watched Munich. Does that half make up for it?
I guess so.
Spielberg,
I'd say
if
so.
You're out there,
if you watched Munich and E.T., that's basically Schindler's List.
I never thought of it like that.
First they came for the extraterrestrials.
I just prefer to think. I'll just watch Jaws over and over again, and I'll just think of the shark as a metaphor for Nazism.
Fair enough.
Okay, and then I don't have to watch Schindler's List. I can form an adequate opinion on
you can
Nazi Germany based on Jaws.
If you read the Diary of Anne Frank while you're watching Jaws, then you're all set.
Oh, I might have to watch Jaws a few times to get through the Diary of Anne Frank while I'm watching. It would be difficult. But back to my earlier point in getting into Daredevil.
Comic books.
It pulled me back into the world of comics because when I was reading that, I was at like a tough spot emotionally in my life, and I connected with just one stupid thing. Like, it was, in retrospect, it's just like the desperate person like grasping at connecting with something in it, and then it just kind of pulled me back in. It was like, oh, Daredevil's girlfriend died, and my girlfriend's gone. Oh. Just kind of pulled me back in. And also a frame of reference for how it was like, oh, I'm so pathetic currently that this comic book about a blind man with a mask is making me cry. Things can only go up from here.
That's kind of a rock bottom moment, I'd say.
Yeah, that was definitely like a rock bottom, heartbroken moment when I was crying reading Daredevil.
Rock bottom. That's a real rock bottom is saying rock bottom wrong. It's only up from here.
It can only go up from here. I will say fewer instead of less when it is appropriate, like nobody else does at all.
Oh, yeah, the supermarket doesn't.
Yeah, no. The supermarket definitely doesn't. And nearly everyone else also doesn't.
I don't do it either.
Do you know, I actually saw at Whole Foods, they do have the one that I went to had a 12 items or fewer lane.
Oh, nice.
And that if you asked them, I assume, for a 12 items or less lane, they'd be like, oh, that's a Trader Joe's.
We don't do that here. Yeah. That's not organic.
You may not shop here with only money.
That is not organic use of our language. Mm-hmm. It's free range.
It actually is a free range organic. That is like language does change organically. And if people all say the wrong thing, eventually that's the right thing. Did you know that the word peas used to be like the word maize? Like it wasn't the plural of pea that was formulated backwards. Like peas was like a mass. Be like, oh, I would like some peas, a chunk of peas, an amount of peas. But then be like, oh, then one of these must be a pea. And there were a bunch of people that were like, no, that's not right. But then eventually everybody was like, I guess it's right. Because we're all doing it.
I don't like that, though, because then that means that eventually, if I'm going to keep using fewer appropriately,
you'll be wrong eventually.
I will officially be wrong.
But eventually you'll be dead too, so
hey,
you won't notice.
When you think about it like that.
Yeah, you know, after you get murdered by your friend here.
Exactly.
I sure hope so. Well,
evidence is piling up.
I mean, I would kind of like to survive that event so that I could reap the benefits.
Think how great this podcast will do if you're dead. You know, like one of those, like Van Gogh, or one of those, you know, you die, you live your life in squalor, in misery, relating only to a fake guy in a comic book, and then you die, and then your art sees a much broader distribution.
Excellent. Maybe it could even approach the distribution of Daredevil, the man without fear.
As opposed to Vincent Van Gogh, the man without ear.
Yes! Perfect.
Good night, everybody. That's,
lovely.
I think this is getting a little too clever.
Yeah, I'm dial kinda, it back.
We've got to dial it down.
Get
a little
it back
bit.
Down to medium. Sean, you need to pipe up some more. Bring us down.
Well, I was just,
bring
I'm just kind of
down.
Kind of like going over in my brain how I'm going to murder you now.
Oh, well, that's okay. Sure. That's important. That you're doing important work over there.
Exactly.
That's taking up mental real estate, and it should.
For sure. That's why I'm.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to murder, you should do it. You know, you should think about it,
guys. For sure. Think that we've averaged out the clever.
Excellent. Wonderful.
Sweet. Let's continue.
I've been watching Game of Thrones. Are you watching Game of Thrones?
I actually watched all of the first season of Game of Thrones this past week in Winnipeg.
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
And what did you think?
I enjoyed it greatly, as I assumed I would. I had it stored. My roommate had it on his computer and gave it to my computer. And then I brought it here because I didn't know if there would be Wi-Fi that was fast enough to watch things. So I'm like, I'll just have something on my computer. And I watched it, and I enjoyed it greatly. And I look forward to the second season ending so I can watch the whole second season. That's how I do things.
You prefer to do the all-in-one run kind of guy?
I do prefer that.
Do you find that there's any series that you watch that you want to consume in that matter that... But you find that it's actually would be more, that you'd appreciate it more if you spaced it out?
You know, I will watch some, like I'll watch some sitcoms like a week, you know, as they come out, because I don't, it's just the ones where you're like, I want to know what happens next, you know, I would rather the next be available for me
like
to watch.
Like when watching Breaking Bad on TV. And then, like, the end comes, it's like, really? I have to wait another week for...
But sometimes it's nice to have, like, that time to kind of unpack and think about it and what's happening, and then also some anticipation for the next one, too. Like, there is some value in that, right?
I do not like anticipation. I like immediate satisfaction.
I'm with Mike on this one.
But, I mean, sometimes, like, the season will end, and then you'll be like, oh, my God, now I have to wait for a whole new season.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you have that anticipation for, like, a year instead of the, you know, week-by-week one.
Right.
But... What I'll do now to sometimes trick myself is I'll watch Fringe, and I got to I think I watched like the first season or two all at once, but then I caught up, and now I will watch them not every time they come out, but I'll like store up like, you know, four or five, then watch a few of them, and I'm like, I could stop anytime I want, you know, or like but then I'll let a few more build up, so it's as though I'm watching them on my own, you know. I'm like, I could just watch them all at once, but I have to go out. I have to do some other things. That's how I trick myself.
Okay. Well, I usually like I'll watch them weekly when they're currently airing, and then I'll do the catch up in the sprees when it's like a show that I haven't been watching. Yeah, that I'm
sure.
Like my next target's going to be Doctor Who. I'm going to watch some Doctor Who.
A lot of that.
I'm not going to go back any further than David Tennant.
I just watched all of Sherlock. Speaking of Doctor Who.
I just watched that in the last few weeks.
I watched it in the last 1 week.
Yeah, both all six episodes.
All six episodes.
And what did you think of it?
I loved it. It was great.
I thought it was great,
it's
too.
They did a good job doing everything.
And that guy's name couldn't be more British.
Benedict Cumberbatch. Is that right?
That's a great name.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Like a friend of mine, one of the friends that recommended it to me, like I told her that I started watching it and I didn't know that that was his name. So I was like, hey, I just started watching Sherlock. And she wrote me a thing like all caps, like Benedict Cumberbatch. Oomph. I was like, are you spoiling an episode for me? Is that like a clue? Is it scrambled letters? Like, what do I have to do? And I was like, are you spelling fun wrong?
It's a lot of extra letters for fun.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I watched the first series of Sherlock, and that made me want more Sherlock so much that I even watched the sequel to the Sherlock movie.
Oh, I haven't watched those. Are they any worth
They are kind of fun to look at.
Okay.
They're definitely fun to look at.
I like looking at stuff.
Robert Downey Jr. is a charismatic
beautiful
person.
Beautiful man.
He's a charismatic person.
I'd say so.
It's, yeah. I had low expectations.
And they were.
I felt good about it. Also, when I watched Contraband starring Mark Wahlberg.
Oh.
If a movie stars Mark Wahlberg, it is difficult to get my expectations lower. I can,
yeah,
and as a result, I enjoy Mark Wahlberg.
There are
movies.
Good Mark Wahlberg, like Fear. That's a fun
sure.
Movie. That's a,
sure.
And then you've got the ones that are he's not starring in. The Departed is certainly
he's fantastic definitely. In The Departed. One of the most one of my favorite lines in that.
One of the best departs of it.
Ooh.
Does that add or take away from the clever? I don't.
It's not clear immediately, but you know, with time.
Yeah, exactly. So
future generations will decide.
All right, after our murders.
After the murders.
After we're all long dead.
Yeah. People except Mike, decide. He'll be.
Oh, he'll be gone. He'll
robot.
Be if he, yeah. Yeah, he'll be in a robot body.
Murder me, body. Shame on you. Murder my robot. Impossible. I have many.
It's impossible.
A backup.
Backup.
Oh,
robots.
Like the character from Captain America who's got many bodies and his face is in his chest.
I got nothing.
MODOK. It's I think it's a version of MODOK or the guy who made MODOK or something like that.
Guys, it's pretty important.
Anyway,
so just
yeah,
look
obviously
it up.
It's important to know about your Captain America villains. If you're listening to this, pause it right now. Go to Wikipedia, get the whole complete rundown on your Captain America universe.
And never come back.
And then just enjoy that instead of this. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, good stuff.
Definitely.
Game of Thrones? Is that where we're
from? Yeah, you asked me if I liked it.
Game of Thrones.
I've watched one season and none of the second season.
And did you read any? Have you read the books?
I have not read the books, but I hear they're good also.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide whether I want to read the books or not now. And I really liked the first season, so I'm like, oh, well, I don't know.
So would you read, you'd read like... You don't want to spoil the show for yourself? Is that what your concern is? Or
no,
you just don't
or,
like reading?
I like reading. I have no problem with reading. Me and reading get along fine. Television could do all the heavy lifting on this one, and I'm trying to decide whether or not I am okay with that. Or realistically, it's like, are you going to enjoy it more if you watch it before you read it, or the other way around?
I feel like I think you could go either way. Obviously, you'll get a different experience if you do a different thing. That's my advice: is to think about which way you want it to be different. But I mean, obviously, the books are much more complex and rich and full of more stories and more detail and depth.
Absolutely.
I would presume so. You could watch the show and then find out what else, you know, like get deleted scenes in the book form, mm-hmm. or you could read the books because that's how they were intended initially, and then see what the movie, what the show has done.
For sure. There's really no losing situation.
Sure. Well, there is one losing situation, and that is I'm hesitant because of what happened to me about 10 to 12 years ago when I was reading The Wheel of Time. Robert Jordan, Wheel of Time mm-hmm. books, and I read like the first 8 of them, and they're all just massive hardcovers, like 1,200 pages, and I worked my way through the first 8, and it got to the point where all the different characters had all spread out to their own different things, and each book covered like one chapter on each character, so the momentum of the story was so halted that it was just like, it was too frustrating to continue reading.
And this has nothing to do with a TV show.
No, that doesn't, but it's relatable in that it's fantasy novels.
Understood.
Right? That's all. But whatever.
Well, you should make a TV show of that book set is what I think the long and the short
well,
of that
yes,
is.
Well, yes, then if we really want to settle this, we'll go both ways. I won't read these ones until it's done. I've already read The Wheel of Time. Let's produce the show. We will have some definitive evidence.
So keep an eye for Medium Clever Presents The Wheel of Time by Michael Jordan. And
Michael Jordan.
That'll be a more exciting one.
Michael Jordan's Wheel of Time, Charlotte Bobcats edition. Everyone plays basketball, and then someone gets stabbed with a
better
sword.
Than Tracy Jordan's Wheel of Time.
No, there would just be a lot of anti-homosexual ranting on that one, if we were to pick a... dated reference of a thing that happened a while ago. Yeah.
Guys, it's the internet. Everything's happening all the time.
That's true.
Right.
This is happening right now.
Everything that you hear is in the past. We have no way of capturing the future
except
yet.
For this. It's the future. Okay.
Oh,
no,
now it's gone. Yeah. Well, there it goes. Mm-hmm. Let's all watch it go. Are you stoked for the... I assume you're going to watch the Avengers film.
I will watch the Avengers on this coming Monday.
So did it just open yesterday?
Yeah.
It did.
Okay.
There were some previews before that, but yesterday was the release date.
It was the official wide opening.
And today is wide opening.
Yeah, that's right.
And today is...
opens wide.
Free comic book day.
Free comic book day.
So I'm sure there's some Avengers tie-ins out there.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Where you can see shirtless hero dudes, if that's your thing.
Apparently it's your thing.
Ooh.
Avengers comic books. Shirtless guys.
Shirtless guys of fight crime.
I was trying to make a shirtless guys Shield. Comic reference book. No, joke. Didn't work.
I love that zip, zip, zop joke.
Yeah, well, you know, you just keep stumbling until you kind of right yourself. It's like when you're running down a hill and your legs have to move faster than they can.
And then you just fall, and then you're one of those, like a cartoon.
But then you spring back up in a second.
Yes.
You tumble a little bit, and then boom, you're off and running again.
Or that's you just collect enough dirt or whatever, assuming you're on a hill.
You become kind of ball-shaped.
Yeah. Oh, it's become a ball.
The best if it's snow. If there's
snow.
Then you just become a big avalanche ball.
Path of least resistance, really. That's what you want to do. You want to be an avalanche ball. But the Avengers movie, I don't know. I don't know. I'm concerned that they will not. That there's not. It's gonna be too compressed. That there's not gonna be able to let each character develop or whatever.
Well, they all had their own movies, so.
Well, yeah, but exactly. They've had time to develop.
Well, like it has it's to more... be successful because they've spent so much time. Like when I watched Iron Man 2, I just thought that, okay, this was all right. But it just seemed like it could have been a lot better if they hadn't spent so much time clearly just. Putting things in place to build towards an Avengers movie. Like, I feel like the singular movies that tie into it themselves sacrificed some quality to add promotion for the
possible.
Avengers.
I hear this one's good, though. I trust Joss Whedon, and most people have been rating it positively.
I generally...
It's got a 93 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, does it? Well, I definitely generally trust Joss Whedon. Even lately when he produces things that have been less long-lived, like Dollhouse.
Oh, I love Dollhouse.
I enjoyed it, but it was definitely like... It got a little crazy in the second season. I can see why it would be difficult to keep on TV, but Firefly is one of my favorites.
I feel like the reason Dollhouse got crazy is because it got canceled, and then they're like, we just want to do the whole story.
Yeah, yeah, okay, this is where it was going.
I really like... I mean, the second season I thought was my favorite season of all the two seasons.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought it definitely... When Joss Whedon is given free rein to do what he wants, then he makes good things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it got canceled because people weren't watching it as much as they could have. I hear that
it was also on Fox, too, wasn't it?
It was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first season was... I think they only gave it a second season. It got, like, very low ratings, but very high ratings proportionally online. Like, people, a bunch of, you know, Hulu watchers.
Right. People who were watching it weren't watching it conventionally.
Yeah.
So they just don't have the appropriate metrics to capture the data to keep the shows that you like alive, nerds.
That's where Nerds, turn on your TV and then also watch Hulu.
But consume some advertising, nerds. I know you don't want to.
I mean, it seems as though today, I don't know if you guys have, like, do you have the Nielsen ratings up here too? Are there Nielsen families?
I don't know.
They're a very mysterious lot.
Yeah.
That seems like, it seems a little outdated, a little obsolete that, because especially with, you know, with satellite or digital, you can track exactly what people are watching, DVRing, you know, watching on their computers. Like there's a measure of everything that is being watched. You don't need to be like, oh, one person watched this, so that means a million people watched it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Incidentally, that's also how Big Brother is going to infiltrate and take over your life. They're going to start by saying, okay, well, what are they watching on the porno station? I mean, computer. What are they watching on the TV? And then, you know, they're already listening to your phone calls in the States, right?
Sure.
So, you know, hey, it's one step at a time. They're probably doing it, but they're underfunded and they're not listening to that.
These are boring phone calls. Just a bunch of people being polite.
What do you think's going to happen in Grey's Anatomy?
Hey.
Oh, we're listening to Trish again this week.
Yeah.
Trish is going to give us the rundown. I didn't see Desperate Housewives this week. Trish is going to fill me in.
Yeah, that's what the government up here. Is they're like, I missed my programs.
Yeah, exactly. That's how the people that they work at CSIS, which I don't even remember what it stands for, Canadian Secret, let's call it Secret Intelligence Service. Let's just call them that because that's definitely in the neighborhood of what they do,
more or less.
I just generally assume that they're poorly funded and that they're not visible in any way.
All right.
So we just generally assume that they're not up to too much.
So could it be the secret invisible service?
Sure, why not? They may actually be really, really good, and that's why we don't notice them.
Like female
they're
ninjas.
They're among us.
Yeah.
Mike Kaplan might be a CSIS operative right now. No one would think that. Yeah. No one would jump to that conclusion. It's the perfect cover.
You've sort of put me in a tight spot here, guys.
You do not have to confirm or deny. I'm just saying it's totally possible.
I'll confirm and deny. That's the way the Buddhists do it.
That's what you're supposed to do. They had the contest at Rumors was Tuesday and Wednesday this past week.
That is correct.
Okay. Because I know Tuesday, I'm going to reserve my thoughts on how the contest is judged.
What a great idea for a podcast.
I'm going to call this talk
reserving
about
my thoughts.
I'm going to reserve my thoughts on that, but I did notice on Tuesday. Fine. Well, you know what?
Just do it.
Let's shut up about this podcast.
Yeah, I'm not trying to force anything.
Hey, I'm just going to mention a bunch of things that we're not going to continue talking about.
It was great. Am I right?
Hey, let's talk about Barack Obama. Wait, no.
Let's talk in general. How do they judge? No,
I don't know. But what I do know is that the people who were judging on Tuesday were from a local store called Gags Unlimited, which is a costume shop. And I thought...
Party shop,
You know who knows comedy that should be passing judgment on comedians.
They've got gags right in their name.
Exactly. Gags is in the name. You need some dog poo. You know where to go. You know, you need to dress up like Jack Sparrow. They got you covered. You'll be... It's hilarious.
You need a pair of glasses with mustache under it.
Ooh.
They got that too?
So I get the idea that you guys don't think that costumes are all that comedy is about. Is that what I'm...
Well, personally, my comedy is all about costumes.
I was going to say, I only think it's mostly about
costumes. Dress up as a Captain Jack Sparrow made out of dog poo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's called Poo Sparrow.
With the glasses and mustache.
Yeah. With like the Groucho glasses and mustache on? Yeah. No, you replace the mustache on the Groucho glasses with the fake dog poo.
Yeah, well, you have to.
And then your poo.
You have to stand out.
Poocho marks? And then you just do...
Harpoo.
Harpoo. Well, but then you got to get a coat and a wig and everything, really, if you want to do harpoo correctly. You don't want to confuse anyone about which old-timey Marx brother that you're sending up.
Oh, don't tell me who I don't want to confuse anybody about.
Oh, I insist. Confusion is not the goal here. We want it to be specific with harpoo going on.
I got nothing. Harpoo almost sounds like harpoon.
Just
a
about.
A little bit.
But you probably couldn't kill a whale with him.
No. Yeah. You don't want to go. You don't want to mistake that.
At least not in the same way.
That N is important.
Yeah. You could potentially still maybe choke a whale to death with a harpoo marks.
Ooh,
that's
kind of
tough.
Excessively violent imagery.
Gross.
Right there. It's not really what you want to go with. But it's possible. I'm saying, if you really want to kill a whale with a harpoo marks,
yeah,
that's how you might go about it.
Well, that happened. Yeah. Wait, you just listened to that happen. We all said it. We all participated, and there's no apologies.
That's correct. There's occasional editing done. Occasionally. We try to avoid it, but it happens. It's a thing.
We try to avoid it, but it happens.
Run the edit! It's on purpose. The edits are definitely, when they happen, they are chosen. They are selected.
You don't just like do a Wheel of Fortune or a Price is Right spinny thing. Be like, all right, it's gonna start editing now.
We're gonna take out 30 seconds here. Oh, that's the middle of that story. Too bad.
The funniest part of something.
Yeah. Well, then we just mix it up. It's a puzzle podcast. We don't put the 30-second clips in order.
Oh, I like it.
You have to download it, and then you cut it back up into the 30-second clips, and then you have to figure out what order they go
in. It's really fun for the listeners to do that.
It's super
they love that.
Fun. There's like three obsessive compulsives that live in a psychiatric hospital that are huge fans of the Puzzlecast.
That happens to me sometimes when I'll stay up like real late watching like a TV show, and I'll be like, I want to keep watching this, but I'm getting tired. Mm-hmm. So then I'll like all of a sudden it'll be like credits, and I'm like, oh wait, I didn't see the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I gotta go try to figure out. Then I'll watch it all out of order. I'm like, I saw this, I didn't see this. I'll have dozed off and woken up and dozed off and woken up.
And you gotta find out.
I'm watching, I remember that happened to me while I was watching an episode of The Killing. And I was like, all right, so there's an additional mystery now that I have to figure out what actually I did see in this. Like, where are the clues to the things that already did happen? And then put it together to try to find out who the killer is.
And then ultimately still be unsatisfied.
Did you watch The Killing?
I watched the first season.
Well, that's the thing.
I stopped.
I have no problem with what happened. Like, I watched it all when it all came out, and I'd heard that people were upset about the ending, that the killer had not been revealed, which is some, I don't know if I'd rather have not known that. There are these studies that show that even if you know, like, people enjoy things more if they do know the ending.
Oh.
Like, that's, a lot of people will, like, skip to the end of a book and be like, ah, that's how it ends. The end is the last two words of this book. It's good to know there's an ending.
Is that just like a comfort thing?
I think so. I don't know if it's all people, but they definitely said, like, people in general in these studies, who did skip to the end first were more satisfied with the entire enjoyment of the story. So, which does seem counterintuitive. Like, I prefer to be surprised.
Sure,
that's
absolutely
a part of it. But I definitely understand. Like, I also don't like when there's just a cliffhanger for cliffhanger's sake at the end be like, if you're good, I will watch you. Mm-hmm. Like, you can Dexter, show me a whole season, they end a story, and you're like, all right, that story's over. But right. It was good. I will see what happens next. Mm-hmm. You don't have to trick me. Like, every episode of 24, I'm like, 24, the way I watched that was, one day I watched, like, half a season of it, just like, probably 15 episodes in a row, half of 24, 15.
Yeah.
But because every time I would watch it, I'd be like, the end, it's a cliffhanger, I gotta watch. So I figured now I would just watch the first 2 minutes of the next episode and be like, they resolved that. And now just watch it from, 1202 to 102 every day. But for The Killing, I definitely, it was funny because I read about it. They're like, we didn't promise that it would be resolved in one season.
No, it's just an expectation. Yeah.
The plan was never for that. Like, apparently they were like, we always plan for it to be a 2-season arc for that murder. And then there will be another murder that they also start dealing with. So
I didn't stop watching it because they didn't reveal a murder. I stopped watching it because I didn't enjoy it.
Look, you did the wrong thing. By not enjoying it, I thought it was. I thought it got better and better. Actually, I thought it was a little slow in the beginning.
Okay.
I was like, all right, very stylized and like, just one murder. Come on, aren't there lots of murders? Come on, do it.
Yeah.
But I liked a lot of the characters, a lot of the actors, and we can agree to disagree.
Have you guys ever seen American Horror Story?
I hear good things.
Heard it's
haven't seen it.
Crazy go nuts.
It's pretty crazy go nuts. It's different locations each season. So the first season,
don't want to hear anything about it. So I'm gonna take off these.
It's really messed up and fun.
I took off my headphones, but I can still hear you talking in the room.
Well,
so,
yeah, because we're like right next to each other,
covering up the ears.
No, I'm done.
Preview style.
So it's fun.
It's fun.
You would recommend?
I heard you say it's fun. Damn it!
It's been ruined.
Ruined forever.
Now you know there's potential fun to be had. Something.
Now I know that Sean likes fun.
If you knew more about Sean, you might be able to determine whether his tastes match appropriately with yours, and then it would maybe affect you.
If I were like Sherlock, I'd be like, you're sitting like that, you're wearing that color thing, and that means that you have two small dogs.
You like salsa in the evening.
Oh. Dancing or chips?
Chips.
Both.
Who likes dancing? I like chips and salsa chips.
I like pretzels and the lumbata.
Welcome back. Welcome back to snacks and dances that we prefer. I'm going to take Ritz crackers personally, and some sort of waltz. I'm going to have a waltz.
Pringles and jingles. It's not a dance, but it rhymed.
That's better than a dance. Rhyming. Everyone likes a rhyme, probably.
Everyone likes,
unless they do it
one.
All the time. Yeah. That gets a little annoying.
Or at least they're capable. Everyone recognizes when rhymes happen.
Did you sincerely I feel like you might not have recognized a rhyme that he said.
No,
that
was intentional.
Okay, good. It was so nonchalant.
That's how
you tricked me. You're a good actor.
Thank you.
Rhyme rhymes with time, everybody. That's
yes, it's true.
Go back rhyme, a couple time, seconds. You'll see.
You can figure it out. It's all there. All the evidence has been laid out before you. And the real question is, this is bringing back a thing we did once before.
Oh, what is the real question?
And this is which Muppet movie are you? Based on these descriptions, I'm going to do this.
Okay.
Do it.
So here's, I'm going to get an answer from each of you. Are going to require an answer. First choice is The Muppet Movie, a heroic tale of an amphibian performer who refuses commercial work. The Great Muppet Caper, where a bear and frog play identical twins who fail to recognize the genius of Charles Grodin. The Muppet Christmas Carol, where Michael Caine learns to adopt the spirit of consumerism. Muppet Treasure Island, where Tim Curry sodomizes the corpse of Robert Louis Stevenson. And 2011's The Muppets, where it looks like The Muppets, it smells like The Muppets, but something isn't quite right.
I'm the Christmas one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm all about the spirit of consumerism.
For sure. And Michael, if Michael Caine's involved.
Michael Caine is almost my name.
it's
very close.
There are some similar sounds involved.
I'm
absolutely
almost British. Like, I'm only like a couple hundred years off from being British.
Yeah, sure. As are we.
If things had gone slightly differently in that that fateful war, we could all be speaking
British
today.
Right now.
I did have some tea today.
Well, that's
clearly pretty high up.
Clearly
there,
yeah. Pretty well on the path.
I'm basically
British.
Michael Caine. Hire me.
Basically, yeah.
Okay, can you do Michael Caine? Do you do impressions? You don't do impressions.
Nope.
I could try Michael. I'm not going to do it.
I don't do impressions. I don't do impressions. Impressions? Is that how he says it?
Hello, I'm Michael Caine.
Michael Caine sounds like Michael Caine.
It's closer than I can.
And every Michael, you know how everyone when you're doing an impression, they always like to say their name?
Yeah, yeah. Hello.
Right.
I'm Michael Caine, and I improve this impression. I don't improve it.
It's Brad Pitt here. Brad Pitt's here saying, "Watch Moneyball."
Hey, everybody, Mr. T here.
Moneyball's about funny
Up
cricket.
Into the fool.
My name's Chewbacca. I'm Chewbacca the Wookiee. I'm R2-D2. Beep bop boop bop.
Wookiee life debt. And stuff.
And stuff.
And stuff. Tree planets.
Tree planets? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wookiees.
I gotcha.
Come on. Don't worry, listeners. I'm not going to explain Star Wars references.
I have someone who I work with who has never seen any of the Star Wars movies.
Well?
And is that person better or worse off for this?
I don't know.
They're He's worse off because I'm going to murder them. That's number one. How old is he?
Going on 50 this year.
That's
unheard of, right?
That's like a person who is of an age where it should have been unavoidable when
exactly.
It came out.
That's what I thought.
To some extent.
Maybe they were reaching the age, like, because the first one came out in 77.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if they are 50 in this year, that means that they would be 15
yeah.
when it came out.
Yeah.
Maybe they were just reaching a point where they were too cool to do anything.
No, possible. That's entirely possible. But it's like 15-year-olds, like, that's the target audience yeah. for Star Wars, isn't yeah. it? That's...
Yep.
And you think you would have caught it like a couple of years later once the hype died. Well, I guess the hype really didn't die down for Star Wars.
You know, when the hype for Star Wars died down.
When everybody forgot
like,
about it. You know.
Fuck that.
Yeah, I mean, what is Star Wars even? I don't actually know.
Who cares?
The only George Lucas film I like to watch is Willow.
To boldly go where something?
Mad Marty.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Something
boldly,
like that.
Boldly going long time ago. Boldly go a long time ago. Yeah. Far away. Right?
A long time to boldly go. We're no man in a galaxy. Our forefathers.
Actually, you know, I just read this week that for the Comic-Con, we have a Comic-Con in Winnipeg that I've never been to yet. And the special guests that they've announced this year that I remember right now are Billy Dee Williams.
Perfect.
Of Star Wars, of course. Walter Koenig from the original Star Trek, Chekhov.
Yep.
And Tia Carrere, I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Of Wayne's World fame.
Of Relic Hunter fame. From Relic Hunter.
Relic Hunter, yeah.
And also some movie called Wayne's World. Maybe you saw it. I don't know. But you probably know her from Relic Hunter, right?
Do you know, I know some guy, I work with a guy who's never seen Relic Hunter.
What?
Really?
Really?
And I work alone.
I also, I'm also very familiar with a guy who's never seen Relic Hunter, but he's aware that, that Tia Carrere starred in it. And it's me.
Still don't necessarily believe it's a thing, but I probably do.
It's one of those like syndicated shows that...
Like VIP?
Like yeah, VIP exactly. Or like Cleopatra 3030 or like Bruce Campbell's Jack of All Trades or...
Like Stargate?
One of those things, yeah, exactly. Yeah, something that they buy and put on like Saturdays at 10 a.m.
Let's keep naming things that it's like... Like, that's all of them.
I'm out of syndicated shows. Arsenio Hall. Arsenio Hall was a syndicated show, I believe.
Like kinda Walker like Texas Relic Ranger Hunter. Now, like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure. That's what everybody loves, some Walker. I really think that Conan O'Brien is responsible for Chuck Norris's resurgence in the culture. I've decided that. Purely based on the Chuck Norris lever of several years ago.
All right. Well,
yeah.
If you disagree, please send your emails to...
Just go to mediumclever.com and leave some comments. Or
make sure you do it anonymously, because it's the internet.
Yeah. You wouldn't want Sean to find you and like, fucking kill you. Huh? You're going to set them on fire? Find them one by one, set them on fire?
I'll play it by ear.
Oh, like you'll mix it up each time, maybe? Like you're not going to stick with one method?
No, that's
It'll make
boring.
You harder to catch.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Right? Nobody would catch my ammo.
Yeah.
I think that's the new Vincent van Gogh album, Play It By Ear. I hope that other part from before was not edited out.
That's going to go over a lot of heads.
Callbacks really don't work when you... Yeah, that's what we do.
The first
see,
part,
we have comics come on the show, and then they make callbacks, and we fuck up their comedy. Like once the editing's done, really only Sean and I ever come off as being even moderately...
I'm just here saying, like, Vincent van Gogh, Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I'm R2-D2 beep boop.
Yeah, that is a bad impression.
That's terrible.
It's going to be like, oh, people are going to listen to it, and I'm like, oh. I saw Mike on TV, and he was funny, but then I listened to him on my new favorite podcast from Winnipeg, and oh my, he had nothing to contribute.
That's a good impression of that person.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is. Do we need to talk about the Muppets further? Do I need to continue trying to make us talk about the Muppets at this point?
I do like the Muppets.
Yeah, me too.
Who doesn't like the Muppets?
Jerks.
Yeah. Mostly jerks.
Statler and Waldorf, mostly.
And they are Muppets.
Yeah, they're self-hating. They really have a complex, those two old fucks.
Self-hating Jew Muppets. I don't know if they're supposed to be Jews, but...
Statler and Waldorf are those stereotypically Jewish names?
They don't sound like it, but they're so self-hating they changed their names.
They've got stage names as Muppets. They take on heckler stage names.
Yeah, Waldorf Stein.
We're the world's most famous hecklers. We need stage names to practice our craft.
You know, like the anonymous internet commenters.
Yeah.
They're anonymous in a different way.
Yes. But we want internet commenters on our website. Good, happy, fun people who aren't trying to, like, sell real estate or get money transferred out of Nigerian bank accounts.
But bigger dicks is fine, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
of course.
If you can help us get our dicks bigger, please send us emails.
And actually, you know, getting emails would probably be something that would give you guys boners, so.
That's true.
Any real non-spam email will literally give you a boner.
And any spam email will hopefully also help us with boners.
So pretty much any boner email.
Anything sort of really. Communication that happens between the audience and us is going to involve both.
The point is, put on comments with the name Statler or Waldorf.
Because that's what's going to do it. That's what's going to get it there. Awesome. Now, you're thought of as a generally bright person.
Not genuinely.
As an intent and as an intelligent sort.
If people think that, then...
I think that you would be thought of that way.
You think that I would be thought of that way.
Yeah, I believe personally, the people who have experienced the comedy of Mike Kaplan would probably be led to the conclusion that this is a somewhat intelligent person.
Well, thanks for saying that. Is this a question?
I'm going to go on. Well, I wanted to get your opinion on this because this is something that, I've kind of, from my education that I've learned some stuff about psychology, and this is It's about cognitive development, about how people understand things and whether they understand them. And it's, there was this French guy named Piaget, and he had this theory of cognitive development. And I'm not going to lay out the whole damn thing, but there's four stages. And the third stage is called concrete operations, where you are able to, you know, work with...
construction workers.
Yeah, exactly, where you are able to build buildings. You're able to communicate with
blue-collar
people.
Yeah.
Blue-collar people don't bother you. They don't cause you anxiety. You encounter
a
construction worker. You're like, all right, this guy's okay.
Concrete operations.
Concrete operations, where you're, you know, you're able to work with things that you can see and touch, right? You know, your... addition and subtraction is going to be like, okay, how many apples, how many oranges? You're able to... And the fourth stage is formal operations, where it's more abstract concepts, right? Like, you know, courage and freedom and...
apples that have already been eaten.
Calculus. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Exactly.
Love.
Love, all these different things. And Piaget's theory was that some people just aren't ever going to get to that fourth stage. That it's not like... So, I mean, this just kind of... It informs... This is just something that informs how I kind of see the world and look at some different things. And I just... I find it helps me make sense of the world where, I guess, where you, when you... I guess when I see something just completely ignorant that's happening or just things that don't make any sense.
Like,
I'm
like, that's just another gentleman.
Those people, they just... They're not stupid. Because I don't ever want to like pass really horrible negative judgments on people. I want to try and be a nice guy. And so it's just like, well, they're not stupid, like, or evil. It's just like they seriously, there's a significant portion of the population just not capable of understanding like these higher thoughts.
I mean, I wouldn't even say that they're not capable. It's just possible. I mean, certainly the education system in my country is not necessarily the most fair, like depending on where you grow up, where you live, mm-hmm. what kind of culture, what kind of economic circumstances you're in.
Right.
Like some people just don't have the opportunity, and some people are, you know, worse yet, raised in cultures that stigmatize learning. Like they're like, oh, you're going to try to be smart? That's not cool. So like that alternate routes are taken, which ultimately lead people, you know, down maybe the path to just crime or homelessness, or because that's cooler than going to college and learning or, right. you know, trying. I mean, there's obviously, and there's certainly jobs that don't require that, you know, like if you can be an intelligent person and be a construction worker as mm-hmm. well,
for sure.
But you are working with, you know, there are people. It's necessary. There are people that need to work with physical things. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we wouldn't have physical things. Like, I can't build a house. I can't. Most of the things that I buy, I couldn't create myself. You know, like, mm-hmm. there are. And obviously, there's. I forget who, whatever the. There was the scientist or the psychologist who was like, there's seven types of intelligence. Like,
right.
You know, there's like the logical, mm-hmm. mathematical intelligence. There's the physical intelligence, mm-hmm. the emotional, the interpersonal, the intrapersonal.
Right.
Like, and so there's different people that are, everybody has their own skill. Like, everybody, you know, can certainly learn, if they're given the right circumstances, learn how to do enough of everything to make their way in the world. But some people are more, you know, like, I could never be Michael Jordan mm-hmm. or Tracy Jordan, because he's fictional, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't want to be. We all try, ideally, hopefully, can maximize the different levels that we are more attuned to. And, like, obviously, there's nothing wrong with not knowing certain things. Like, mm-hmm. we don't all have to have the same knowledge on all things. Like, if somebody doesn't know Game of Thrones or Sherlock, it's not a problem. You know, there are things that it's a problem. But, so if I do a show, like, I'll recognize that not everybody will know all, you know, I could have some jokes about some movies that I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, people haven't necessarily seen these movies. I'll do my best to... lay out the situation as best I can so that even if you... Ultimately, most people hopefully have heard of the movies that I'm talking about, mm-hmm. whether they've seen them or not, and then they have enough information to get the jokes. Like, likewise, like, I'm not... you know, I'm not up there doing like, hey, everybody, you need a calculus degree to understand this joke. Even if the joke is about math, it can be understood by people who ideally, you know, both enjoy math or don't enjoy math. Like, be like, oh, here, math, a thing that you hate, remember? Oh, yeah, we'll hear you talk about that from now on.
Anybody have their master's in microbiology? Well, this set's going to be awful for all of you.
I just make me think of one of my favorite jokes is on Steve Martin, Let's Get Small, when he says he's going to do the bit for the plumbers. There's a plumbers convention in town.
Yep.
And so he makes the extremely specific joke that's supposed to be for the plumbers. But yeah,
that's great.
It's great. Of course. Right. Of course, there's no plumbers. And that's the actual joke. Hey, everybody.
Plumbers don't go to comedy shows. Yeah. You'd be dumb if you thought they did.
Hey, everyone, if you didn't appreciate that description of a Steve Martin joke, I would recommend checking out Let's Get Small.
You're a big dummy if you don't know that Steve Martin talked about plumbers.
Yeah, I mean, everyone who's listening to this is schooled in comedy, right? I think
if
our
not,
audience,
you just got schooled in comedy.
Yes.
Took the full 12 years.
But anyway.
It's a long schooling.
Well, so, yes, there are people that have different knowledge bases and different...
Well, not just knowledge bases, but do you think that it's like that they're not going to ever be able to grasp those kind of higher concepts? It's not even necessarily just you know, opportunity, right? Because you are talking about like there being, you know, different types of, you know, intelligence or different types of... Everyone's their own unique and special snowflake with their own particular sets of skills, for sure.
Sure,
but
I've definitely had people come up to me after shows and say, like, I didn't know half of the things that you were talking about, but I was laughing the whole time and I enjoyed it. Like, and that's actually like one of the nicest things that I can hear, because like, I want everybody to have a good time, ideally understand what I'm saying, but if not, if they're happy that I'm making faces or if they're happy, you know, that they're laughing with other people. If they, you know, if some people are like, your jokes go by too fast, I don't have a time to hear all of them. I'm laughing at one, and then another one goes by, and I'm like, oh, I didn't hear that one. So like, it encourages repeat listenings.
Sure.
But I definitely, you know, I don't think that is the one measure of, you know, people's capacity to understand higher concepts. Isn't necessarily the be-all end-all as far as being a good comedy audience. Like, I think being optimistic and enthusiastic about a show is probably more of an indicator of how well the show is going to go. Like, I've done shows at, you know, like, old folks' homes where, like, you know, you would have expected... I mean, like, I don't think these people are my demographic, but I love when people who are not... who don't look like me or who don't seem like me, like, come up to me at, like, you know, like an old lady who's like, that was great. Or like, a guy who looks like a giant douchebag who I'd be like, I think
this guy would rather punch me than listen to me, you know? And he's like, I liked it.
You know, that
guy,
sort of thing.
6'5" affliction shirt comes in. Really like that joke about the this book stars Brad Pitt.
Yeah, I mean, I don't actually even know what an affliction shirt is. That's how I don't have the knowledge base there.
Tap out. A little tap out.
Tap out, does that help?
No.
UFC. UFC is a thing that would make sense.
A punching, fighting thing?
Yeah.
So punching, fighting.
What is affliction? Is it...
It's a type of clothing worn by the kind of people who are enthusiastic about
it's
the
UFC. Brand,
it's a brand?
Of
clothing.
It's a brand.
Yeah. Like an Ed Hardy shirt? Would that be the same kind of thing?
An Ed Hardy shirt would be worn by the same type of guy.
Got it.
But it would not be the same type of shirt.
Understood.
Would still be,
yeah.
Tight. A lot of aggressive,
but no dragons fighting.
Yeah, no dragons, but a lot of like a lot of aggressive shapes and such.
Aggressive shapes.
Yeah, spikes and fire and that kind of thing.
Okay, a fire shape.
Aggressive shapes.
Yeah,
these are aggressive shapes. Triangles.
No circle.
Parallelogram.
No, circles are way too
neutral. Pussy shape.
Yeah. Circle is one pussy of a shape.
Fucking circle. Take sides. You got no sides. Be sharper, circle.
Cylinder's on the right path.
Yeah.
What's your problem?
Circle's like, but I'm actually sort of like an infinite number of sides. It's the most sides possible.
Shut up, Circle!
Get your shit
We're
together, Circle.
We're all bored by you, Circle.
Circle, you're a jerk. Okay.
Eat some pie.
Nope. Eat a cracker.
No. Pie, Circle.
Oh, yeah, pie. That makes sense.
Yay.
Or a Ritz cracker.
Math joke.
Ritz are round.
Because they're round.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. So
did I answer your statement?
I don't know. Yeah, statement. The statement definitely got a reply.
I definitely said things.
Things were said. I like it when things
we'll
are said.
We'll probably edit a couple like random 30 seconds.
You said things.
Yeah,
I said
exactly,
other things.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll put exactly. in. We'll add Sean's thoughts on the subject later in between your sentences. Right?
Oh, I'll just agree. I'll be like, okay.
We'll do the. No,
oh, hang on. Let me record those right now.
Uh-huh. We'll also be releasing a director's commentary to this podcast.
And that'll just be
podcast commentary.
Yep. Okay, most definitely, yes.
So you'll listen to it once without the commentary, and then you'll download it again, and we'll have the regular audio will be, the volume will be lower, and then you'll have the commentary track, which will be Sean and Brant. Brant will give us his production notes. This is where I move the volume up to. And then over here, I adjusted the balance one. Oh, that's when Sean made that joke about
this is where
fire.
I said the thing that I'm saying now.
Yes.
And this is where the next thing that was said was happening.
Yeah, because you want some commentary tracks for a podcast, right? That's appropriate.
And then the double commentary on the commentary.
Yeah. Exactly.
That would be an amazing.
It just never ends.
I'm gonna start a podcast called Commentary, and it's just gonna be one episode. Every episode will have I'll do one episode just by myself.
Yeah.
Then I'll bring in a guest, and we'll do commentary on that episode. Then we'll bring in another guest, and we'll keep.
So each time you get a new guest, you'll be doing. It'll add another layer to the commentary.
Ah, it's going to be great.
That's going to be a deep podcast.
Yeah, because, I mean, if Brant's giving us a production notes podcast, it would have to be like an audience member after that, someone who's listening to it, and we get their commentary.
Well, they'll be murdered by the time this one comes out.
So. Right. By the time mine gets to, its 100th episode, it'll be just like, it'll be called Wall of Sound.
We'll be able to hear anything at all. Phil Spector will be involved. That's a Wall of Sound reference. Because of production techniques. Tower Records. Nope. All right. Keep moving.
Keep on trucking.
No, I like this. I like it.
What? I can't just make Phil Spector references and expect that everyone in the room is going to understand what I'm talking about?
You can't Phil Expector? I spit at that one. I Phil Expectorates.
That's okay. Oh.
if he dies and then comes back to life, he's a Phil Expector.
That's
Expector Gadget.
And the clever has plummeted.
No.
I kid.
No, the opposite.
Oh, it's increased.
The clever has increased, but people's interest has decreased.
Right.
And,
I don't know. I think that whenever you name drop Inspector Gadget, people perk up.
That was Expector Gadget, though.
Well, so. Yeah. But
the opposite.
But they get it. They understand where we're going.
Do they? Oh, yeah. These are level 4 people.
Yeah. These are level 4 types. Listen to this. You can't operate an iPhone or iPod. You can't operate an iDevice if you're at the 3rd level.
No,
it's too complicated. Level
There's
threes,
no way.
Level 3s out there. We start talking about people that are dumb by
level 3.
Fucking level 3s over here. so you can be like an intelligent you can be a bigot on intelligence level, but you can still do it in public because you're using coded language now. Check out these number 3s over here in their Affliction t-shirts. They don't understand Van Gogh. Huh? I mentioned 3 things there that we talked about.
That's true, you did.
Check out these number 3s over here. That's my Michael Caine again.
What you want to do is chop off your ear and then die and eventually be very famous.
Oh, I'm Vincent Van Gogh.
I'm here to tell... I'm Vincent Van Gogh's advisor.
Ear. I'm his ear.
Oh, I'm here on the ground.
I'm an ear on the ground. Yeah. I think my Michael Caine's gotten a little better. I think over the course of this time, maybe it doesn't sound like it, but it actually sounds like I'm trying this time.
It might not be translating to the podcast properly, but in person here, that Michael Caine is spot on.
And also, I look like Michael Caine now. I really contorted my face.
He became Michael Caine for a moment there.
My name is Michael B. Caine. And I'm going to write a song.
So Breaking Bad's filming right now, right? They're doing the final season.
It starts in June, I believe.
It's coming back.
Yeah.
The final season.
Final season. I'm stoked for it.
Have you been following this show?
I have watched all of Breaking Bad.
So we don't have to worry about spoiling anything for Mike. But listeners, we don't care if it's a spoiler for you.
Watch it. Quick.
Watch
Why
it.
Haven't you?
Call for the love this of is, God, watch
consider
it.
This not a spoiler alert. We're just going to go ahead and say whatever we want.
What are you, some kind of level 3?
Yeah. Stop being a level 3. Level up a bit.
That's right. Step your game up to level 4.
At least level 4.
Breaking Bad. Good.
Anyways, but, Breaking Bad.
Yeah, but you know, honestly, I don't care for it. I don't see what the big
really?
Deal is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It should just be called Bad.
Yeah. It broke bad in episode 1, and it has been bad ever since.
What do you mean it's bad? Like, the story, what about the story? It's great. It follows a nice narrative. It's organic in the way it happens.
What's happening here?
Story. Oh, look at it. I get it. All right, whatever. The story, it's all written real well.
Things are surprising.
Rubbing it in my face.
Acting is great.
Look how good this story we wrote is. It's so intelligent and engaging. Oh, look. Bill Burr is here for an episode.
Two episodes.
That's great.
Right?
Yeah. We're so happy about 2 episodes of Bill Burr. We all get it. Fine.
And Lavelle Crawford.
Yeah, right. I didn't even notice that it was Lavelle.
It is.
But now in retrospect, that all makes sense. About this show that I hate.
This is the worst.
Oh, okay, we get it. Bob Odenkirk is someone that people like and respect. And
he knows what he's doing.
Oh, the performances, they're good. We shaved his head. Oh, he's really committed. Big deal.
So
that went well.
Yeah.
Anyways,
pretty solid.
5, you guys. What do you think's going to happen?
Some stuff's going to happen.
Some stuff. That
I believe, here's what I think. I think his cancer will be cured. I think that he will stop doing all the bad things. I think all of the other criminals will be punished.
Mm-hmm.
They will end up in jail if they're not dead already. They will reform their evil ways. In general, everyone will stop doing meth. Everyone will go back to college. Everyone will make it to level 4.
Nice.
Baby will grow up and be a good person. There will be no more cops because there will be no more crime.
Kristen Ritter will return from the B in apartment 23. She'll be alive again.
Oh, good, good.
Sure.
Those are my thoughts.
That's a very happy ending very morose, depressing show.
Yeah, in the penultimate episode, Bryan Cranston eats a bag of mushrooms, he has a religious experience, he turns the other cheek, and he starts a tent revival in the last episode.
Wouldn't it be great if they came back and they were like, this time it's called Breaking Good.
This is the final season of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Sure, at the end, he turns a new leaf and it's Breaking Good. 5 more seasons.
That's right, like when Scrubs just switch channels and they're like, now new people.
Yeah. We're still going to call it Scrubs, but yeah, we're going to keep 2 cast members, 3 cast members maybe, right?
Yeah.
Well, but that's not, I mean, Family Matters jumped channels for its like final season I believe.
Weird.
And Buffy did that.
Buffy
same
did for
thing,
two
right?
seasons.
For
the
last
yeah.
2 seasons.
Yeah, they killed her and then they're like, well, goodbye, everybody. And then they're like, what? But also now we'll have more.
Because it turns out it's like people that make shows, they like having that job. And the people that people want to keep giving them that job, even if it means they have to keep something going perhaps longer than is optimal.
I think Buffy was Buffy's one of my favorite shows of all
time.
Well,
I'm not necessarily particularly speaking of
but
Buffy.
But Family Guys.
Scrubs.
Nope, and Family Guys. Definitely. That's what she said, right? Family Guys.
Yeah, the Family Guys.
You know, with Urkel. Urkel the Family Guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Carl's there. I've started naming characters that I create in video games. Reginald Vell Johnson.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's fun.
Sounds fun.
I boot up the baseball game. I'm going to play some...
RVJ.
Play a little first base. RVJ's coming up.
RVJ gets an RBI.
That's right. Except that the game... Okay, here's the best part. The game The game has audio cues, right? It has a big list of names that are in the audio bank for you to choose from so that they can get it to say you're the guy's name. Turns out Reginald Vell Johnson, not in the audio bank.
So what do they say?
You know what is in the audio bank? Carl Winslow.
Wow.
Nice. So when Reggie gets up there, he's reminded of his stereotypical roles as a cop. And one Carl Winslow. Really, really, Die Hard is the peak of the RVJ's career.
Winslow, very common name for a black cop, Michael Winslow.
Yeah, also
Police Academy.
I think he's he was here for the festival last month. The Winnipeg Comedy Festival had was delighted with the talents of Michael Winslow.
Right. He came in on a plane. It lands. Screech. Pretty good, right?
Drove to his hotel.
Oh my God. You guys, you just had a cameo appearance from Michael Winslow. He was just here, as far as you know, obviously, from the sound effects that you heard. They're indistinguishable whether Michael Winslow was here or not.
You can't prove that he
wasn't. Michael Winslow. I cut off my ear, so I can't hear if I'm saying this right.
Well, I'd like to thank you for being a guest on the podcast here, Mike.
Yes, thank you very much.
We'll wrap this up.
You're welcome for being a guest.
Yeah, it was. I had fun. It was nice to have you. I'm glad you had a positive experience in our city. It's got a pretty good comedy scene, I think, for the size of city and everything it is.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So it's kind of cool. And is there anything we can anywhere you'd like to direct our audience?
If you go to mikekaplan.com or put in Mike Kaplan at Twitter or Facebook or YouTube or iTunes, anywhere your computer knows, you know?
Google the Mike Kaplan, MYQ, Mike Kaplan.
Kaplan, KAPLAN.
Google that shit up.
Google, GOOGLE.
It's a number and a website.
.com. Dot is just a dot.
Don't try and tell Mike Kaplan to the number. That won't get you anywhere. Try the website.
Oh, yeah. My name is not a number.
That's right.
Eventually, that's when I'm a robot, who knows?
Once the robot can become replacement comes.
Or at least there will be a number involved so that the other machines can identify you.
Indeed.
All right.
Definitely. But yeah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, it was good.
And
Sean,
thank you for listening. Oh, sorry, what?
No, I was just...
Oh.
Yeah.
Say Sean.
And
hey,
me.
Everybody.
Thank you for listening, everybody.
Yeah, there's Sean.
And Sean.
And Brent and Bobby is and producing. Sean. And Sean. Pickles and Onions.
And sure, why not?
All right, special sauce.
Let's do it. Thank you for listening.
All right, thanks for listening. Medium Clever. Bye.